Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Today is Monday, September the 26th, 2016. And first, a word from our sponsors. Will America survive its next election or let two-party corruption collapse the country into a second civil war? Blood Republic is a new political thriller which details what happens when the Electoral College ties and both parties claim victory. Blood Republic by James R. Duncan is available for download or in paperback on Amazon. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, Austin Peterson here. Welcome back to the show. And today we're going to be talking about an article that came out in the New York Times by Mr. Paul Krugman. And if you don't know who Paul Krugman is, he is a very anti-libertarian or anti-conservative writer at the New York Times who generally advances the Keynesian style of economics. And every once in a while, he likes to punch down and attack libertarians, which this op-ed is no different. If you don't know who Paul Krugman is, I don't have a time for a real long explanation here, but you should look up more of his ideas because he's probably one of the main critics of libertarianism that has a major platform in the news today. And he wrote an article that I thought was interesting. My father actually brought it to me the other day. I was out at Stonegate Farm doing some shooting with a friend of mine. And my dad came up with a newspaper and dropped it on the back of my truck showing this attack piece on Gary Johnson, which is interesting because if you read the piece, which we're going to do here in just a second, if you read the piece, it's actually not quite an attack on Gary Johnson so much as it is on libertarianism and the Libertarian Party generally. Because if you read this, you'll see there really aren't a lot of criticism directly. So let's read this piece from the New York Times, and then I've got a rebuttal piece from Reason Magazine that I thought was really interesting, and we'll discuss it as soon as I finish the show. But just so you know, sometimes I stop right in the middle of these articles and I offer my commentary if I'm blazing mad about something or something really sets me off. So I'll try and delineate so that you guys know when it's me talking and when it's Paul Krugman talking. Just, this is him saying all these things. This is not me. All right, so this is from September the 19th in the New York Times. Paul Krugman writes, "Vote as if it matters." Okay. Does it make sense to vote for Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate for president? Sure, as long as you believe two things. First, you have to believe that it makes no difference at all whether Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump moves into the White House, because one of them will. Second, you have to believe that America will be better off in the long run if we eliminate environmental regulation, abolish the income tax, do away with public schools, and dismantle Social Security and Medicare, which is what the Libertarian Party platform calls for. I'm just kind of giggling here because whenever I read that list, I'm like, yes, oh yes, oh hell yes. But then let's get to the second paragraph here. But do 29% of Americans between 18 and 34 believe these things? I doubt it. Yet that, according to a recent Quinnipiac poll, is the share of millennial voters who say that they would vote for Mr. Johnson if the election took place now. And the preponderance of young Americans who say they'll back Mr. Johnson or Jill Stein, the Green Party nominee, appear to be citizens who would support Mrs. Clinton in a two-way race. Including the minor party candidates cuts her margin among young voters from 21 points to just 5. So I'd like to make a plea to young Americans. Your vote matters, so please take it seriously. Why are minor candidates seemingly drawing so much support this year? Very little of it, I suspect, reflects support for their policy positions. How many people have actually read the Libertarian platform? But if you're thinking of voting Johnson, you really should. It's a remarkable document. As I said, it calls for the abolition of the income tax and the privatization of almost everything the government does, including education. We should restore authority to the parents to determine the education of their children without interference from government. And if parents don't want their children educated or want them indoctrinated in a cult or put them to work in a sweatshop instead of learning to read, not our problem. Oh gosh, Paul. What really struck me, however, was what the platform says about the environment. It opposes any kind of regulation. Instead, it argues that we can rely on the courts. Is a giant corporation poisoning the air you breathe or the water you drink? Just sue. Where damages can be proven and quantified in a court of law, restitution to the injured parties must be required. Ordinary citizens against teams of high-priced corporate lawyers, what could go wrong? It's really hard to believe that young voters who supported Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary think any of this is a good idea. But Mr. Johnson and Ms. Stein have received essentially no media scrutiny, so that voters have no idea what they stand for. And their party's names sound nice. Who among us is against liberty? The truth is that the Libertarian Party essentially stands for a return to all the worst abuses of the Gilded Age is not out there. Well, you're lying, Paul, because actually if you think about it, and this is me opining here, Gary Johnson has received tons of media coverage, way more than Jill Stein has. And Gary Johnson has had a CNN town hall debate, just like Jill Stein did too. But if you Google Gary Johnson right now, and if you're near a computer, I'd encourage you to do that, and you hit Google News, you're going to see Gary Johnson all over the place. Dozens and dozens of articles written on him every single day. And his platform is out there. So this is very paternalistic and condescending, the way that Krugman is writing this, that millennials 18 to 34 years old are just stupid, is what he's basically saying here, is that they don't know what they support. It's so funny because it just reminds me of a story the other day. I went to a Democrat, talk about not knowing, you know, what people believe. I went to the county fair this last weekend in my town of Raymore. And I went to the Democrat booth, and then I went to the Republican booth. And the Democrats booth, I walked up and I just said the same thing that I said Republican booth, except I just substituted their candidates. I walked up to the Democratic booth and I said, "Okay, guys, make the case for Hillary." And they go, "We would actually much rather talk about the down ballot candidates." And I was kind of like, "I'm sure you would." but then, you know, after a little quick conversation about the down ballot candidates, and they made their case for them, there seems like there's some good candidates. You know, Missouri Democrats are not like New York Democrats, okay? Because when you go to the Democrats booth here in Missouri, their platforms will sometimes say on their papers that they pass out that, you know, they believe in fiscal responsibility, too much waste in government, they support the Constitution. You know, you can't get away really with being a full-blown socialist here in Missouri unless you're in one of the precincts like I'm in, where I'm in downtown Kansas City, or if you're in St. Louis or in patches of Springfield, for example, the major metropolitan areas. But when I asked the Democrat what they thought about Gary Johnson, they go, "You're not going to believe this." And I was kind of like, okay, what is it? They go, and keep in mind, they had no idea who I was, in contrast to the Republican booth, which I'll tell you in just a minute. But the Democrat goes, "You know, Austin, you're never going to believe this, but I looked into Gary Johnson, and he wants to get, did you know that he wants to get rid of the IRS? And I was kind of like, yeah, that's actually kind of what I like about Gary Johnson. And then Democrats were kind of like, they were obviously shocked, right? They're, you know, but here's the thing. How could a Democrat not know what the Libertarian Party platform is? I mean, physician, heal thyself, Mr. Krugman, because why is it the Democrats don't know what libertarians believe in? I mean, you're sitting here trying to tell young people that they're stupid and they don't know what the policy positions are of libertarians. Well, maybe you ought to take a look at your Democratic Party, because it seems like the Democrats have no freaking clue what libertarians believe. Anyways, that's an anecdotal story anyway. But yeah, I did walk over to the Republican booth, and they knew exactly who I was. There was a town councilman who was there who was like, you know, "Hey, Austin, you need to, you know, keep running. I think that you could win office here locally, but you should run as a Republican." I know. Don't freak out, guys. Don't freak out. I didn't leave the LP. But let's continue with Mr. Krugman's op-ed here. He says that, meanwhile, of course, it does not make a huge difference which of the two realistic prospects for the presidency wins. Or he says it does make a huge difference. And not just because of the difference in their temperaments and the degree to which they respect or have contempt for democratic norms. Their policy positions are drastically different, true. Two, true, much of what Mr. Trump says is incoherent. In his policy proposals, $1 trillion tax breaks are here today, gone tomorrow, back the day after. Krugman's right about that. But anyone who calls him a populist isn't looking at the general thrust of his ideas or whom he has chosen as economic advisors. Mr. Trump's brain trust, such as it is composed of hardline right-wing supply-siders, whom even Republican economists have called charlatans and cranks, for whom low taxes on the rich are the overwhelming priority. Yeah, right. Meanwhile, Mrs. Clinton has staked out the most progressive policy positions ever advocated by a presidential candidate. Yeah, right, Krugman. Perhaps you didn't pay attention to Bernie Sanders. I'm fairly certain he was probably the most progressive policy positions ever advocated, at least in the last 50 years. Anyways, Krugman goes on to say, there's no reason to believe that these positions are insincere, that she would revert to 1990s policies in office. What some are calling the new liberal economics has sunk deep roots in the Democratic Party and dominates the ranks of Mrs. Clinton's advisors. Now, maybe you don't care. Maybe you consider center-left policies just as bad as hard-right policies. And maybe you've somehow managed to reconcile that disdain with tolerance for libertarian free market mania. If so, by all means vote for Mr. Johnson. But don't vote for a minor party candidate to make a statement. Nobody cares. Gosh, don't you cut that is such a punchable statement. Remember George W. Bush lost the popular vote in 2000, but somehow ended up in the White House anyway, in part thanks to the Nader vote, and nonetheless proceeded to govern as if he had won a landslide. Can you really imagine a triumphant Mr. Trump showing restraint out of respect for all those libertarian votes? Your vote matters, and you should act accordingly, which means thinking seriously about what you want to see happen to America. But we are thinking seriously about what we want to see happen in America. And, you know, the funny thing is, Paul, is that libertarians aren't all delusional. You know, we know that even if Governor Gary Johnson was elected president of the United States, we're probably not going to get everything that we want out of the Libertarian Party platform. You know, if we can get some simple tax cuts, if we can get some government spending cuts, if we can have a less militant foreign policy, then I'm all for that. And I think that's probably what is resonating amongst younger voters. And what is absolutely ludicrous and amazing to me, I guess I shouldn't say amazing, but I should say predictable, is that when the Commission on Presidential Debates used the criteria, the polling criteria from CNN, the CNN polls didn't include 18 to 34-year-olds. And they say it's because young people don't vote. But if young people do vote in this election, then I think Governor Gary Johnson could get the highest vote total we've ever seen. So, yeah, we are thinking about the future, Paul. We've got to live in this future. You're going to be gone soon. It's the young people that have to pay off the $20 trillion in national debt that we've racked up, or that you've racked up, you and your friends, you and the liberals and the socialists and the Democrats and the big spending Republicans, people like Donald Trump who want to put us further into debt, who want to get us involved more in the Middle East, who want to continue a massive failure that is the war on drugs. Do you think that anything is really going to change between Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? I don't really see a whole lot of difference between the two of them. One isn't, you know, because the thing is that Donald Trump isn't a right winger. He's just not. And you're trying to paint Donald Trump as a right winger because of the people that he's got in his cabinet. Well, Donald Trump does what Donald Trump wants. And Donald Trump is a very progressive liberal statist from New York. So what really is the difference if we have a progressive liberal Republican or a progressive liberal Democrat? Either way, we're going to get a progressive at the top of the ticket. That's why I'm not going to support either one of those candidates. So let me read the response that Reason Magazine had. I thought it was a really excellent response by Robbie Sove, who writes over at Reason that almost everything Paul Krugman says in this awful column about Gary Johnson is wrong. And he says, economist, heal thyself. Oh, that must be where I got that little phrase. Robbie writes, fellow millennials, Paul Krugman isn't mad at us. He's just a little disappointed. Disappointed that so many are shirking their obligation to fall in line behind the Democratic Party candidate, thus imperiling the future of this great nation. In his latest screed, Krugman, a one-dimensional partisan operative still somehow masquerading as the in-house economist for the New York Times op-ed pages, excoriates young voters as not merely reckless, but actively dangerous, given their penchant for supporting third-party candidates Jill Stein and Gary Johnson. Especially Gary Johnson. Taking note of Johnson's impressive poll numbers among millennials, Krugman rejects the idea that these voters could possibly like Johnson because they agree with his views, or consider him the most honest and forthright option. According to Krugman, Johnson's young supporters are probably clueless idiots who don't know that all libertarians want to return society to the age of robber barons. And if their goal is to register a protest vote against Clinton, they are acting immaturely by helping to elect Donald Trump. Your vote matters, and you should act accordingly, which means thinking seriously about what you want to see happen, writes Krugman. In other words, millennials should think seriously about what Paul Krugman wants to see happen to America, the election of Hillary Clinton as president. Unsurprisingly, Krugman's columns make some unfair and likely incorrect logical leaps. He begins by asserting that Johnson and Stein's high favorability among young people hurts Clinton. But as Bleeding Heart Libertarians blogger Jacob T. Levy explains, Johnson's overall base is pulling slightly more voters from the Trump camp than the Clinton camp. It's Stein who draws almost entirely from Clinton. Levy writes, on current evidence, the Libertarian ticket is having a largely neutral but slightly pro-Clinton effect on the race as a whole. And this fact is being widely misreported because people are improperly lumping together the effects of Johnson and Stein, then attributing that effect to the libertarians along in a classic fallacy of division. It's simply not the case that Johnson's candidacy is on the whole hurting Clinton. The evidence suggests the opposite. Krugman, to be fair, is talking specifically about young people. He just doesn't understand how they could possibly support the nominee of the Libertarian Party, the party that wants to, quote, eliminate environmental regulation, abolish the income tax, do away with public schools, and dismantle Social Security. Of course, those are generic libertarian policy positions, not Johnson's positions. For example, Johnson doesn't want to dismantle Social Security and Medicare. He told CBS News explicitly he wants to reform those programs rather than eliminate them. Krugman has mischaracterized Johnson's views on a host of issues, but the issues Krugman ignores are even more telling. The average millennial isn't just going to vote for the candidate offering the most robust welfare state. They care about things like reforming drug laws and staying out of pointless wars. And on these issues, even Krugman would likely have to admit that Johnson is clearly more palatable. That's why he omits those issues from his calculus on why millennials who support Johnson are making a huge mistake. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say earlier, and thanks for writing that for me, Robbie, is that Krugman just goes in there and goes out and tries to say all the things that he thinks that millennials will hate about the candidate or the Libertarian Party, but he doesn't mention all the things that they would like. You know, the fact that we would stay out of pointless wars and that we would reform our drug laws. And Robbie finishes by saying, lastly, Krugman demonstrates impressively uneconomic thinking when he asserts that each voter must treat his or her vote as if it's the deciding one. In reality, an individual voter has effectively zero chance of influencing the outcome of a national election. So everybody might as well vote for the candidate they like best if they vote at all. For an oppressive number of millennials who do not feel bound to obey the two-party duopoly that produces horribly flawed candidates year after year, that person is Johnson. If Krugman were capable of looking beyond his extremely strong partisan biases, he might understand better the appeal of a non-Trump, non-Clinton candidate. Excellent, excellent, excellent. And that's pretty much how I feel, too. Of course, we didn't need to do a whole entire breakdown for you all to understand that Paul Krugman is just out of his head. And again, I actually do not believe that there will be much of a change in Washington if it's Trump or if it's Clinton. I think that despite the fact that Gary Johnson is a flawed candidate, that if he were to win, that would destroy the two-party system. And that would be a good thing to happen to the United States. Don't you agree? What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Do you like the show? Do you like the Freedom Report podcast? I really appreciate you guys being loyal listeners. We've got an enormous listener base in here. It's fantastic. Did you hear that ad at the beginning of the show? That's what happens when we have such a huge, enormous audience like that. So if you like the advertisement that we had, check out that thriller, The Blood Republic. And of course, thelibertarianrepublic.com, we sell memberships. If you guys don't like advertising, you can go to thelibertarianrepublic.com and you can purchase a membership that will get rid of ads for you, as well as put all of our listicles on one page. People hate scrolling through those slideshows, which I understand, so we gave you guys a solution to that. You got to pay for good journalism. It's important for us to build up new libertarian institutions, which, speaking of, have you heard of my new C4 and PAC? Stonegate Institute and Stonegate PAC are up and running. You can find out more about what I'm doing there to fight for liberty on the local level at the Stonegate Institute. That's Stonegait, stonegateinstitute.org. Check out the Stonegate Institute. So Joe Trotter's heading it up, my man, who was my comms director for my presidential campaign. Now he's running my think tank. Pretty exciting stuff going on these days. And I am out here in Kansas City living the life, spending my weekends traveling the country, spreading the message of economic freedom and personal liberty. So again, thanks so much for being a listener, and send me feedback. I know you guys like to hear these shows. I'm like, freaking A, 100,000 people will download this episode and be listening to a show like this. Think about that. That's Madison Square Garden, I think, only holds 18,000 people. So imagine 100,000 people listening to you. If I had to go out and walk out on stage for 100,000 people, I can imagine that'd be pretty nerve-wracking. I'm glad I can just kind of sit here in my Adidas shorts, my gym shorts, and do the show like this, because otherwise it would be really terrifying. One last plug, guys. If you're listening to this podcast on the day of, today is the big presidential debate that's going to be happening tonight between Trump and Clinton, and I'm going to be live streaming it on Facebook. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to show the debate, and I'm going to be giving my commentary in real time. So if you want to watch the presidential debate, you can tune in to my live stream and watch it, but just so you know, you're going to be hearing my voice in the background as I comment on what's going on. So if you like that, go ahead and head over to my Facebook page. It's Austin Peterson, P-E-T-E-R-S-E-N. It's the one with the blue check mark. So go over there and click to get live updates, notifications, so that whenever I go live, you guys can see whatever breaking news that I'm dropping. But tonight I'll be doing a live commentary during the debate. So check in and you guys can join me. We can have a little bit of fun, and maybe we can cry a little bit together in our beers. So thanks very much for listening to the Freedom Report Podcast. Have a fantastic day.